Welcome to the Agent Effect podcast. I'm your host, Paul Jarrett, and we have an exciting show lined up for you today. We're going to speak to the two masterminds behind how Cognizant built one of the largest enterprise multi-agent systems in production. It's Intranet One Cognizant. Let's start with some introductions. Venki, over to you.
So my name is Venkatesh Balaji. I'm based out of Netherlands, and I kind of lead the enterprise architecture for the entire company, and plus the AI transformation within the enterprise. I report to CIO Neil Ramaswamy.
Right. Dan?
Okay, my name is Dan Fink. I run the engineering team of the Cognizant AI Lab. Basically, my job is to take the research that scales the peaks and plants the flag at the top of them for the first time and make it so that people can take the ski gondola up to the top and do that over and over again.
Nice. Love it. So I want to dive right in and share what are some pretty impressive figures for an agentic system of this scale. So within 5 months of its rollout, the agentification of One Cognizant, Cognizant's intranet, has delivered a 50% improvement in operational efficiency. Support ticket volumes have dropped by about 50%, easing the burden on service teams and reducing friction for employees. Employee engagement of the intranet has risen by 35% with 10,000 average daily users. There's over 10 million agent interactions delivered with 92% positive feedback and a 2x faster response rates happening. So I want to ask how this all came about, Venki. Let's start with One Cognizant. What is it? What does it do? And how does it serve Cognizant employees?
Okay. So One Cognizant is a digital workplace platform. It's kind of an app store for the entire employees. And that's where everybody consumes their processes, like workflows, and also the automation, which is meant for them. And it's predominantly kind of available available in internet, intranet, and as well as in mobile. And we host all our enterprise applications, employee communications, news, and there is an AI-powered assistance, and that's the topic which we are going to double-click today. And most of the platform is today kind of enabled with one another kind of an AI engagement, either in the backend or in the middle layer or in the front end. So it's kind of an employee engagement digital platform.
And what problems were you having with it where you thought, well, we need another solution to make this more efficient?
So it was okay. So if you kind of go back to the internet era, so everybody was building web apps, right? So the sprawl of web apps started happening. So then we thought we need to have a landing place, like today in one, if you go to mobile, you have an app store or Google Play Store, there's an aggregation layer for you to consume or download, install, and kind of based upon your needs. Similarly, we kind of created this landing app store for anyone to consume enterprise applications. Then we started kind of personalizing that, saying, okay, Venki is from this location. Then we started building the context. We started kind of bringing the roles and as well as day in the life of an associate and everything. But eventually, we are kind of building it on siloed way. So the experience was fragmented. So if experience is fragmented, we need to kind of jump between applications when you need to consume. So that's the problem we wanted to kind of address and kind of bring ONC AI in the front so that there's a single front door, single window for you to consume in a easy way using prompts. Now we are also moving towards voice and et cetera, additional capabilities. So we're trying to solve the experience problem and also increase the efficiency, operational efficiency, so that you don't have to spend much time in the apps, so that if you get what you want immediately, that actually solves the experience, leading it to productivity.
And so how did that problem come about? Was it that different departments within Cognizant were building their own chatbots or agents and they just kind of start growing apart?
No, it's a very good question. So initially when AI era started, everybody was excited. They wanted to kind of bring AI into their process and as well as applications. So that's where the enterprise architecture comes into the picture. So if you kind of allow everybody to build on their own, they'll end up selecting different technology landscapes, different UI comes into the picture, and some places you will see someone will be ahead of the cover as well. So we started kind of looking at the need and the problem and also the priority and the user needs. So we brought the standards, we brought, like, we created the UI, we also like brought the tech stack. We started collaborating with the platforms like Neuro to bring the efficiency and also automation and orchestration to kind of bring in a single window, I would say consumption, AI-based consumption layer.
So I guess you would call this agentification, Dan. Is this, can you kind of explain what that term really means? And
well, I mean, I think a lot of the ways that enterprises might start out is to have some kind of, you know, single agents on top of bits of their APIs and their different domains. But what ends up lacking, what you end up feels lacking very quickly is, how do I get these things to work together?
Mm-hmm.
And when I think of the term agentification, I think about putting layers on top of that to form a natural language interface so that users can use multiple instances of these tools within same queries and somewhat seamlessly.
Okay. And so I gather, Venki, that there was a number of agents already in production with One Cognizant. How many were there, and how did you go about kind of connecting all of these things in a agentic network?
So when we started the journey, like, we started with like some three agents. Today we have like close to 200 plus capabilities across many applications and many processes. So now that's where the core IP of Neuro comes into the picture. Neuro actually plays a critical role in orchestrating this. Like, it plays the master agent role in 1C. So it takes the entire traffic, it decides which one has to go to which agent. And also it keeps the session and the entire, I would say, history and as well as session for the user till the user actually gets the response or a help. The help can be leading it to a ticket created for somebody to kind of call them back, or like hand over the ticket to a live agent where somebody can kind of converse and kind of extend the help for them. So we have built like multi-layer, checks, starting with basic informational FAQ policy information, then take them to application-specific transactions and automations, then extending that to help of support and staffs and et cetera. So it's basically a distributed intelligence leading into multi-agent system getting orchestrated by Neuro.
So Dan, NeuroSan, I believe, is a tool we're using.
Yep.
How does that orchestration layer work? Like, you said hundreds of agents.
Yeah.
It seems like an impossible task.
It's not impossible. It's easier than you think.
Okay.
So when we were developing NeuroSan, what we wanted to do is have a platform which was configuration driven, so that you wouldn't have to be writing new software that would have to be go through approvals and stuff like that. Everything is configuration, meaning, you know, you can specify things in JSON files and stuff like that, so that deployment is quicker, easier, much less hassle in a secure enterprise environment. And so there's actually a layer of prompts with the agents that kind of lie on top of all this that do the negotiating between the user and other layers, because it's not like there's one agent that talks to 200 of them. Mm-hmm. There's some layers in between. Like, you can think of, like, okay, well, here's an HR agent that knows how to do HR things, and here's and knows how to talk to the other HR agents. It doesn't know the answers, but it knows who to talk to. And so we kind of build up structures that enable the user queries where the middling agents will be kind of middlemen. Hey, do you know how to answer any part of this question? And then some guys will come back, like somebody from legal will say, well, I don't care about how to file vacation.
Okay.
You know, I can't help you there. But, you know, the HR guy will come up and say, oh yeah, I've got a agent for this. Go ahead and connect to him. And then there's this negotiation that happens, and then it starts to get a little bit more efficient after that in terms of being able to connect to the agent in question directly or multiple agents that need to answer the user's question.
Interesting. And I suppose with this being like an intranet system, there's a lot of potentially personal information passing from one agent to another, like social security numbers, payroll information? Like, how do you safeguard against passing that data between different agents?
So that's a great question. Neurosan is specifically designed to keep the information that needs to be secure away from regular chat streams, because you don't really know where those chat streams are going. Even if you have your own hosted instances, maybe there's some assurances there, but really, at a operations level, you just want to know that when I type in this key, that it's not going and going everywhere on the internet. So Neurosan is specifically designed to have a separate data channel that is not injected into logs, it's not injected into observability, it's not injected into chat streams, and that all stays private. And that allows security credentials to flow through the system as needed.
Venki, this seems like a very large agentic system. It seems like one of the largest commercial rollouts of an agentic system possibly anywhere. How do you scale something to 350,000 employees? Like, can you talk a bit about how you did that?
Yeah, that's a good question. So the fundamental architecture is basically the one Cognizant is a distributed platform. It is kind of available in our public cloud Azure. And we have sized it in a such a way it is kind of expandable, and it actually is available in multi-region. And this gives the base, the foundational base. But when it comes to the process-specific agents, what we do is we kind of look at the consumption data. For example, if you are rolling out an HR agent, the consumption data will tell us the month-on-month usage. That will help us to do the capacity planning and creating the right agent with the right capacity and the right intent as well. So all these data plus the security layer, the boundaries which Dan actually talked about, actually gives us the right input for sizing it and also targeting the right user base with respect to the processes and as well as application. So our base architecture is kind of scalable. Hence, we can roll out any number of agents or any number of AI capability on top of the platform.
And I'll add to that.
Yeah.
Basically extolling the virtues of Neurosan, in that we design the system to be stateless with each query. So what that means is that you can kind of what I call ridiculously scale up. When I talked to the 1C guys like in their DevOps last, they were scaling it up to 60 pods.
Okay.
And handling all those queries and stuff like that. And
when you say 60 pods, can you explain what that means?
It means 60 different instances of an agent server
that's
okay. Kind of handling those at least middling queries, if not some of the very base queries.
Okay.
And there's nothing that's inherent in the system that's storing things in databases. Put it this way, it doesn't have to, it can. And because of that, you know, the requests can be distributed across all these different servers, and any one of them can pick up any request.
Correct. Sorry, I was not focusing on the specific Neurosan piece. Like, I was focusing on the overall architecture. So Dan was right. So we have like in a separate pod, and actually, if I'm okay to kind of get into the technical side of it, like we have enough, I would say, the containers which can span or spin additionally based on the usage, and the Neurosan is sitting on top of it, basically to address the needs with the respective domain as well.
Oh, fascinating. What about latency? So, like, I imagine, like, when I do a Google search, you know, the results come up pretty quickly. Like, how does it deal with latency? Presumably, you're calling a lot and lot of agents. Is there a lag?
I'll start out with that one.
Okay.
So, the answer is yes, there is a lag. The truth is that when you have these multi-agentic systems, you know, it's like, each agent is taking a little piece of the problem, and they're having their own private conversation with the equivalent of ChatGPT in order to solve the problem. And there could be, you know, a couple of these. There could be a dozen of these going on. And that takes time. Anybody who types a query into ChatGPT knows that it'll take, you know, like 5 or 6 seconds for something to come back until the entire answer comes back. And when these agents are in negotiation with each other, you know, they need those conversations going on. So, you know, if you're used to Google speeds, where Google has the luxury of caching their answers to make it look like it's super speedy, but for a user kind of free-forming with their or freestyling their queries, every query is a new problem to solve, and so it takes longer than Google speeds. It's that we're not talking milliseconds here; we're talking measured in seconds.
Okay.
And in along those lines, what I kind of have to coach people in is that, you know, you kind of have to realign your expectations to something where it's like, how long would a person have taken in order to contact the 12 different apps to collect all this information and then collate them into a coherent answer? That right. answer is usually much longer than the query takes to come back with a couple of seconds.
And I suppose you might have to wait for one person to get back to the other person before you get your final answer.
Yeah.
So it could be
when
even longer.
When you say person, you mean agent.
I mean agent, yeah, exactly.
And we talked about two different type of agents. Like if you kind of interact with Google, most of them will be static. We're talking about like some dynamic data as well. For example, like what is my leave balance in my current situation? So it has to kind of, the mastery agent has to work with, the Neurosana has to kind of find, it is a HR agent. HR agent has to work with the leave agent and it has to make an API call and find the actual data from the system, ERP, pull the data back and kind of continue the chain of thoughts and as well as the conversation with the user. So it is not like Google, but it is acceptable when it comes to enterprise standards.
Interesting. One other question, Venki, for you. Are we working with just internal agents that Cognizant's developed, or are we making calls to other third-party agents?
No. This is like a multi-agent architecture. Means like we are integrating with Salesforce, ServiceNow, and we are closely working with some of the security and as well as infrastructure giants like Cisco's of the world, Palo Alto of the world, to extend the agentic AI architecture and as well as automation beyond what we have built homegrown point of view to the partner ecosystem as well. So we have current integration with Salesforce, ServiceNow, PeopleSoft, Palo Alto. There are many, many things.
Wow, lots. Can you give us some examples of what people might do with 1C that they perhaps couldn't beforehand?
So if it's a salesperson, if he's interacting with like 1C, if he's asking for an sales data, the Neuro actually makes a call to Salesforce agent, which is comes from the platform point of view. For example, hey, can you tell me the opportunity when it comes to the banking? So it makes a call to the Salesforce and it actually pulls the data. If I have access, that is where the guardrails comes into the picture, data guardrails and the role-based access control system, it comes into the picture between the agents. That once that is validated, and if I'm allowed to kind of see the data is pulled and kind of validated, shown in the system. If the conversation is leading into finance, the handover happens to the finance agent, means like anything related to finance. It can be happening locally or it can kind of jump to the system as well. Predominantly, ServiceNow point of view, we actually extend our ticketing, support, help desk related things, where asset and requesting a software, requesting a hardware, et cetera, et cetera. So many automations we have already built, and those automation also kind of getting called or initiated through this agentic AI layer as well.
So the support tickets have gone down by 50%. So presumably you need less people to service those support tickets. What are you doing with those people now? Are they reassigned? Are they just handling more tickets? Like, can you talk a little bit about what happens there?
It's both, actually. It's both. They're getting retrained with new AI technology so that they can be redeployed. And the scope is also getting expanded. And we are seeing more and more of AI playing a role when it comes to support ecosystem and enablement.
Or your company can grow while your support staff stays a little bit more constant.
Good point. Yeah. So looking back, I mean, this is an incredible achievement. I guess what surprised you the most when you were like deploying this, Venki? Like, were there any, I didn't realize that, or learnings from the experience that you could kind of pass on to other enterprises looking to agentify their intranets or other internal processes?
So predominantly, The security side of it, defining the right guardrails, it's much important. And the second one is the integration side of it. When you go multi-agentic architecture, so you'll not have the same integration methods and methodology. There's a partner ecosystem you need help, or the collaboration you need with the ecosystem. If you have these two things, you'll be able to accelerate and kind of achieve what you have planned. Rest of things like is predominantly comes part of the platform. If you have your strategy in place and where you're going to kind of bring the agents and what contribution the agent is going to bring, if you have the strategy rightly defined, pretty much it's all easy.
And I will add that a surprise to me was the fact that those support tickets went down as quickly and as much as they did. It's not something that we really expected from the technical side, but extra added bonus.
And that was like over 4 or 5 months, I believe, right?
Yeah.
After you deployed it.
Right.
And that the user engagement went up. I mean, people were going from a system where they had to kind of divine the right keywords to maybe get the right answer, and now they're just typing what they're thinking, which is much, much better. And they actually get more robust results.
Amazing. And I believe you can even order cabs if you're ordering, if you're working late in the office.
Yeah, I heard that one.
That's pretty cool. So what's next for the 1C intranet at Cognizant? Where do you take it next?
So we are actually trying to kind of eliminate the voice side of it. Today, like if you kind of call for a support, it lands to on a human and they kind of understand your queries. It can be on any domain. Then we are trying to kind of work with another partner called Genesys. Genesys is tightly integrating. It's a call center platform provider. We are trying to kind of integrate 1C in the call center platform so that when you actually make a call to this system, like it actually you will end up like talking to AI. And the AI actually comes with a grounded knowledge of existing 1C. It understands that like Winky employee ID, he's from this location. And if I'm going to say like, hey, I'm having an issue on like my payslip. So it understands my context as well. It will have a history information as well. So we're kind of trying to extend many capabilities with respect to voice enablement, and mobile enablement is already in place. We are trying to kind of fine-tune. We are going to focus more on the responsible AI framework implementation so that it becomes in a the product actually becomes in a mature product. And we are actually extending our agents landscape. So our plan was 160. We are like close to 200 now. So now we are closely working with process owners to see what transformation we can bring in the process itself so that the agents can be introduced in the process that can be orchestrated through Neurasan. So big plans we have, which will lead into more optimization, more efficiency improvement, more experience and engagement improvement.
That sounds super cool. One question I have to ask is like, is that expensive to run 200 agents?
No, not really. So it's all running in like a small containers. So it's kind of an existing platform extension. So it's not adding bigger layer of cost when it comes to we executing it or we expanding this capability to the enterprise. No, not really.
I mean, I'll add there, if the support tickets are going down like that and you don't have people worrying about that, and there's a cost savings to offset
Absolutely.
any token, probably by orders of magnitude. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Dan, any kind of future directions for Neurasan from you, where you're taking that next in terms of, I know it's open source, for example.
Yeah.
Like, can you talk about
Sure.
some?
Kind of riffing off the types of things that that Venki was talking about. One of the research items that we have is figuring out how there's this agentic technique called RAG, which is you take a document and you have it be context to a much larger query. But when your documents get big, a lot of times the details get lost. So we're looking into how to kind of make automate an agentic RAG where you can have a vast trove of policy documents, for instance, and you have agents that become specialties on portions of them, and then you have these hierarchies that are talking to each other. Oh, do you know about this policy? No, I don't know about this, but I know this guy knows about it. That type of thing. And there's other aspects where we would like to be able to support different media types a little bit better, like maybe, you know, going direct to getting voice directly and in. Currently, we don't actually support that, but there are ways around that where you kind of capture the voice. So, and we're also looking at things that have to do with building apps, like a agent-centric long-running applications where the agents are getting one agent that's kind of the main loop of the app, and other agents are kind of coming in and giving it more information so that it can go and tap other agents on the shoulder and say, hey, you need to do this now, that type of thing. So
fantastic.
As opposed to code being the main loop, the agents kind of become the main loop.
Wow. That sounds something that we need to be watching out for. So appreciate the discussion, both of you. Thanks for coming on the podcast. And for viewers out there, please go take a look at the blog post that will be talking a bit more about One Cognizant. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us, Paul.